Take your Bibles this morning. Open up with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, if you would. Matthew chapter 27, as you turn to Matthew 27, let me give you the definition of a word. The word, first of all, is hoax. The definition of a hoax is an act intended to trick or to dupe someone into believing something is true when it's actually false. What have been the greatest hoaxes that have ever been perpetrated in our history? Could it be the one that I wrote about in the April Fool's edition of our daily devotional? By the way, the new copies are out there for you. This happened in 1957, and it was purported that the Swiss spaghetti farms were once again back in business since the disappearance of the spaghetti weasel. And on the BBC, the people believed it, that you could actually grow your own spaghetti. And so the calls, the BBC was inundated with phone calls, and so they decided just to keep this hoax running. And they told people, you just take a tin can, fill it with dirt, take a sprig of spaghetti, and dry spaghetti, put it in the thing, and it'll grow. And you'll have your own spaghetti tree in no time. I don't know how long and how many people tried that, but oh my. Could the biggest hoax have been the 1938 broadcast of Orson Welles' War of the Worlds, where it was believed that we were actually being invaded by Martians, and people lost their minds? Could it be when David Copperfield made a 7-ton jet disappear in 1981, the Statue of Liberty disappear in 1983, or walking right through the Great Wall of China in 1986. Were those the greatest hoaxes? Perhaps WWE wrestling is the greatest hoax that's out there. What about something that has been perpetrated to be a hoax that is proven to be true and will still be considered a hoax in order to cover up the truth? Now that's a riddle. Let me read that to you one more time. What about something perpetrated to be a hoax that is proven to be true and will still be called a hoax in order to cover up the truth? That, my friends, is exactly what happened on that Resurrection Sunday. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 62. Matthew 27, verse 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. The chief priests and the Pharisees believed that the disciples were about to stage the greatest hoax that had ever been perpetrated on mankind up until that moment. Jesus resurrecting from the dead. Who in the world had ever heard of something so bizarre as that? And yet remember, just a week or two earlier, there was a guy that had been dead for 4 days, and they were worried that he stunk. And the order was given, roll away the stone. And the words were spoken, Lazarus, finish it out, come forth. And there he comes. Can't you picture Lazarus coming forth all still wrapped up in the grave clothes, linens, and the Lord says, get him unwrapped, get him cleaned up, and away we go. He had been raised by Jesus. And now Jesus is going to raise himself after 3 days and three nights. And the chief priests, they want nothing to do with this. Let's make sure that this can't happen. Because Jesus isn't really going to rise from the dead. Nobody. Okay, so he raised somebody else from the dead. He had prophesied he would raise himself from the dead. Nobody can do that. Oh, but those disciples, they're going to try to pull a trick here. They're going to try to get us all to believe that Jesus is risen. We're going to make sure to put an end to the hoax. How do we know today? We come to church, it's Sunday. Every Sunday is a Resurrection Sunday. It's a celebration and a reminder that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. But honestly, this morning, how do you know that Jesus really did rise from the dead? Was anybody there? No. So how do you know? You say, well, the Bible said so. Well, that's good. I mean, to by faith believe what the Bible says, obviously. But how do we know it wasn't a hoax? Just some elaborate hoax that has managed to be perpetrated for all these years, propelled from one generation to the next. How do we know this wasn't a hoax? I'm going to give you a little bit of an Easter gift this morning. We are going to look at all four gospel passages. When we turn to them, put a marker there. We're just going to stay in the gospels. Ain't I nice? I won't be so nice tonight. And by the way, tonight's message is entitled Skipping Sunday Night Church. What would have happened if the disciples would have skipped Sunday night church? I know you'll be back for that. But anyhow, I'm not going to be so nice on that. I'm giving you a break this morning. Put your marker here in Matthew's gospel. Turn with me if you would. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1. I'm going to give you five reasons that we know that this wasn't a hoax. In Matthew 28 verses 1 through 6, the Bible says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." You got your marker here. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Put a marker here. Mark 16, the first six verses. "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." One more, Luke 24. Put your marker here. Luke 24, the first seven verses. "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled from the sepulcher, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, the two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified the third day, rise again. You say, well, why did we read all those passages? They all say the same thing. If you think they say the same thing, reread them. They add different details to the story. You got to put the story together. You got to put the pieces of the puzzle together to get the picture. As we read those various gospel accounts, it seems that there was a number of angels that were involved here, not just a single angel, but there was a number of angels. Some were inside the tomb, some were outside of the tomb. You say, well, what difference does that make? Those angels are the first proof that this wasn't a hoax. The announcement of the angels. You know, in our world today, there is a lot of people that have no problem with talking about spiritual things if you're talking about angels. They dismiss God, they dismiss Jesus, they dismiss the Holy Spirit, but you start talking about spirit beings, and oh boy, we get all a-tingling, and we're listening, and our ears are perked up to it. We know that a lot of what the lost world is talking about is absolutely demonic. When we get to Christmas, you know, can't have Christmas, can't have Christmas. We got to put the X there. We got to X Jesus out. But we can talk all day about angels because, oh, angels are special and all this kind of stuff. Well, you know what? Same was true back in Bible days. And for these angels to come and make this announcement, there are people that sit up and take notice. And the Bible tells us, and the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, they were well-versed in the Old Testament. They knew the Old Testament. Listen to what the Old Testament says in Psalm 103. It says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure." When those guards woke up and they go back and they report the news, when the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, when they hear the news that there was an angelic messenger, don't you think that they listen pretty closely? Jesus isn't supposed to rise. A dead person is not supposed to rise from the dead. God, we've never seen Him. The Holy Spirit, we've never seen Him. But we have seen this guy that calls himself Jesus, the Son of God. We saw Him crucified. We saw Him put in a tomb. We know He is dead. But the first announcement that He is risen comes from the angels. That is something the people would have listened to. It should have assured them, this is not a hoax. They may not have known what was going on, but they would have known this certainly was no hoax. The second thing is this. Let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 20, your last spot to put a marker. John's Gospel, chapter 20, the first seven verses. The second way that we know that this was not a hoax is because of the absence of the corpse. The absence of the corpse. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid Him." Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre, and he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following Him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. They went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and he believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. The absence of a corpse of Jesus wouldn't be significant if it weren't for a couple of extra details that we get here. You see, with that stone rolled away, logically, we could say there could have been grave robbers. Somebody could have come along, could have conked the guards out. Don't know how you'd explain away the angels, but they could have got the stone rolled away, and they could have swiped the body of Jesus right out of that tomb. But here's the details that show this wasn't a hoax. You got to consider a little bit about how Jewish burial techniques were done. This is in the days before embalming. So when an individual has died, in essence, they wrap this person up like a mummy. And if you'll look back in John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 38, the Bible says, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight." So here's this body of Jesus. There is no denying He has been horrifically crucified on a cross. We have wrapped Him up like a mummy. And now we take 100 pounds of these ointments and spices, and as the layers of the grave clothing are wrapped around, there would be layers of the ointments and spices put in. And so you'd have a layer of linen, spices, layer of linen, spices, linen, spices. And all this, all the way up His body as they got Him ready for burial. As the spices dry, they absorb into the cloth, and they begin to harden up, like creating a cocoon, a hard shell, if you will, around the individual that is deceased. A person who has just been crucified, even if, and there is no if where Jesus is concerned. Jesus was dead when they put Him in the tomb, the Bible says so. But even if there was just a smidgen, a tiny smidgen of life left back in that person that had just been crucified, and now you're going to put 100 pounds of weight and wrap them up like a mummy and seal them up in a tomb, who is going to survive that? MacGyver, maybe. Who's going to survive that? Nobody is going to survive it. to remove a person from those wrappings because they would have started to harden up. You don't just unwrap them. You got to cut them out of it. So if grave robbers had shown up, and I don't know if anybody's ever had their house robbed or anything, but burglars aren't tidy. They don't clean up after themselves after they have burgled your home. They come in, they make a mess, they take what they want, and they get out of there as fast as possible. When the disciples come into the tomb, they see the body, they see the linen clothes in the form of a body as the body of Jesus Christ had resurrected right through the material. And so it's as if this linen, if it hadn't hardened yet, it would have deflated in shape and form. But it also very well could have been in the shape and form because it was hardened. And then we find the face covering wrapped all neatly, nicely folded off to another spot. Nobody would have done that if they had robbed this grave. The disciples couldn't have got away with it if they had tried to steal the body of Jesus. This here is one of the greatest examples or reasons that gives us. This wasn't a hoax. And it leads us into the third point. Let's go back to Luke's Gospel 24. This is kind of has a funny side to it. At least in my brain, it has a funny side to it. Luke 24, verse 9. The Bible tells us in Luke 24, verse 9, and returned to the sepulcher and told these things unto the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the other woman that was there with him, which told these things unto the disciples, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. So these women that have gone to the sepulcher to begin with, not expecting to find a resurrected Lord, expecting fully to find this body that they are going to re-anoint with these ointments and spices that they have brought, they see that Jesus has risen, they go back to tell the disciples, and the disciples don't believe them. It's just a bunch of idle tales you're telling. Now go back to John's Gospel chapter 20, again in verse 8. Well, actually, before verse 8, you've got verse 3, Peter therefore went forth, that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran, both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came to the first sepulcher. And then when they come to the sepulcher, verse 8, they went in also, that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher. He saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And then the disciples went away again unto their own home. This is where it's kind of funny. They don't believe the news, but Peter and John decide we got to go see for ourselves. And they don't just casually walk talking about it. The Bible says that they run. Peter and John are in a foot race. John is the faster of the two. He wins the race, but he stops just short of going in. And here comes Peter. Can't you picture this? Just a huffing and puffing. And you would think, here's John standing there. Okay, good. We can stop. I got to catch my breath. Oh, no. John standing there. Phew, he zips right on into the tomb. And that was the go moment for John then to follow in behind for them to see. You know, if it was just this, it probably wouldn't be the most solid piece of evidence that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. You got to put this, though, with all the other pieces. When they go in, they are astonished. Remember why the guards wanted to have the sepulcher sealed? Because they accused that the disciples were going to come take Jesus. And the disciples are just as surprised as anybody that he isn't there. And as they walk in, John sees how all the grave clothes are laid out, and the Bible says he believed. Peter may have been a fast runner, but he was slow of mind, slow of heart, because the scripture tells us he still didn't get it. Now that's my version of the way the scripture reads. He didn't get it. He still didn't understand what he was seeing. These guys are part of the inner circle, and if part of the inner circle is stunned by the resurrection of Jesus, what a great example or a reason to say this wasn't a hoax. Let's get this next one. The altered truth from the government. Go back with me to Matthew 28. The government never alters the truth, do they? Well, you sound like a bunch of cynics this morning. Yeah, we have good reason to be cynical. Government cover-ups are nothing new. As I opened up the message this morning, I gave the riddle. What about something perpetrated to be a hoax that is proven to be true and will still be called a hoax in order to cover up the truth? The Jews and the Roman government believe that the disciples are going to try to do something to make it look like Jesus Christ has arisen from the grave. However, once it is found out that Jesus has risen from the grave, now we've got to cover this up because we don't want people to be believing this. So how are we going to cover it up? Just get the government involved. Verse 11 of chapter 28. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large sums of large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Here's something worth considering. If the government really believed that it was a hoax, that Jesus Christ really was not risen from the dead, if the government believed that, here's great proof. When the government tries so hard to cover something up, you can almost bet what the truth really is. It is the opposite of what the government is saying. You may say, well, that sounds conspiracy theorist. Well, right here's a conspiracy theory. They are trying to make the public believe something that is not true, and we are going to pay money, and we are going to cover up the truth. The government is behind that. If Jesus really had not risen from the grave, you've got to answer some questions that the government has not answered here. How does a corpse escape? How does a government seal on a tomb get broken? How does a stone of that size get rolled away? Here's the guards. They've come back. You know what? Not a one of them has a scratch on them. Who was the enemy that broke in to get them? How's come there's not a single guard that's dead? How come not a one of you has a scratch, a bump, a bruise on you? Why isn't that there? It appears that they fell asleep on the job. That's grounds for execution because they failed at their duty. We're not going to execute you guys. We're going to cover it up. Here's some money. Go away. Just disappear. Drop off the grid so that nobody can find you. And if they do find you, if this comes to the governor's ears, we got your back. We got you covered. That right there lets me know this was no hoax. This was real. But here's the most important evidence of them all. John chapter 20. Verse 11. The most important of them all, of the evidence that can be given, as your final point is this, the appearance of Jesus. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And when they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself aback and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and they had spoken these things unto her. Jump to verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Verse 26, After 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." In 1 Corinthians 15, we read these words, "And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and at last of all was seen of me also, as one born out of due time." We have some great technology today, and surgeries can be performed that if you want to look like somebody else, it can happen. And it's amazing what is able to be done. Do we really realize that technology did not exist back then? And after Jesus has made all these appearances to all these different people, don't you think somebody, they were close enough to touch him. Don't you think somebody would have looked at him and said, "You're an imposter. You're not Jesus. You're not the Christ. You're not the Messiah. You're not the one that we knew, that we walked with, that we heard teach," and all those kind of things. "We can hear your voice is different. Your face is different." Nobody said that. Wonder why? Because Jesus is risen from the grave. This wasn't an imposter. You know, think about this. Many hoaxes have been done through the years. And as the years progress, that hoax begins to fizzle. You know, people begin to realize the truth and it fizzles out, and we look back and we say, how could anybody be so dumb as to think that you can grow spaghetti? I mean, come on. How can anybody think that? How can anybody really believe that the Martians zapping us and all that kind of, who could really believe that? But Christianity, through the years, Christianity has grown and it's spread. The followers of Christ are hundreds upon hundreds of thousands. And how many have died for the Lord Jesus Christ? They have died because of their faith, and nothing can stop it. The death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's no hoax. It's very true. It's very real. And it constitutes the entirety of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." This is the message that the Apostle Paul preached wherever he went. It was the gospel message. And he says, "I am not ashamed to preach this message, because it's the power of God unto salvation." The fact that Jesus Christ died on a cross, the fact that Jesus Christ was buried. People have no problem with Jesus being crucified and being put into a tomb. They don't have any problem when the history books record that. But the problem comes in when we assert that he arose. Because if Christ be not risen from the grave, our faith is vain. And what we are doing this morning, being in church on a regular basis, is foolish. And all of us that say that we follow the Lord Jesus Christ are nothing but fools, if Christ be not risen from the dead. But it's no hoax. Christ is risen from the grave. Why did Jesus do all of this? If we believe today, and I know that we do, that God knows everything, he is omniscient. There's absolutely nothing that God doesn't know. So when God sent his only begotten Son into this world, when Jesus willingly came into this world, did he not know what was going to happen? He sure did. He knew every bit of it. So why did he come? Well, again, for God so loved the world. God so loved us. Luke says that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. The Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans that God commendeth his love toward us. He demonstrated that love to us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the last part of what John chapter 3 says is that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus went through Calvary. That's why Jesus went through his burial, his death, his burial. That's why Jesus arose from the grave, to give life to all who will believe. You know, this morning, as the Lord looks upon the congregation, what we see this morning, it's an Easter Sunday. We all look good. We all smell good. Some better than others because you got your hats, right? You know, Jesus is looking beyond that. He's looking a whole lot deeper. He's looking at the heart. Because there, every one of us here today, we look like we're alive, but only on the inside is where real life is at. And the only way we can be alive on the inside is to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. You see, there are those that could be sitting here this morning and you're dead as dead can be, spiritually dead in your trespasses and sins. And you try your best. You come to church faithfully. You bring your Bible. You give your money. You serve in an office. You say, well, how would a lost person serve in an office? There are lost people on the membership rolls of churches all across this land. Just because you're on the church rolls doesn't make you a Christian. It just means you knew the right words to say to get in. And everybody, you know, all we can do is take you at your word. But God says, I'm not taking you at your word. I'm looking to see whether or not the blood of my Son has been applied to your life. I'm looking to see whether or not you have been made new and alive by the power of the resurrected Son of God. Can you say today that Jesus Christ is alive and well in you? That you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you say, well, I'm still going to go to heaven someday. Where do you get that idea from? Well, God loves everybody. Everybody gets in. It's not what my Bible says. My Bible says that you got to know Him to get in. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Can you imagine? Somehow in your mind, try to picture this. Try to picture God sitting on His throne somewhere deep into heaven, and you die, and there's Jesus standing at the door, so to speak, and you just try to run right through the gate, just do a run around Jesus, because I'm going to get to God. And God's going to look at you someday and say, oh, that's okay, my Son didn't, you know, I know He died and all that kind of stuff, but that's okay, we'll let you in anyways, because you was good, you was sincere, you were this, you were that. And you just did a run around His Son. You see, that's what every lost person is trying to do. You're trying to run around Jesus. You can't run around Jesus. The only way to God is through Jesus. And if you're trying any other way to be right with God, it's a failure. And you may not realize it today, but one day you will. And if you wait till that one day, it's eternally too late. You must be born again. Would today be a day, lost soul, that you would come to know Jesus as Savior? If you're here this morning, you know Christ as Savior. I don't know about you, but I really hope, this stirs and excites you. Reading through the passage and thinking about what it must have been like when Jesus simply said, Mary, Mary, it's me. Can you imagine what it's going to be like someday, Christian? For Jesus to call you by name and to be able to hear with your ears His voice, see with your eyes the One who died for you. How exciting can that? It's just no way to put it into words, but it ought to do something to us now. It ought to change how we live. It ought to change what we say. It ought to change how we act. It ought to change what we say to other people as we're getting around them. And you know, tomorrow you go to work and there's going to be an awful lot of people that today was just a day to do everything else but remember that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. How are you going to respond tomorrow when you go into work, when you talk about how your weekend went? And in fact, would you be the first one out of the block to tell them how your weekend went and to tell them about Jesus? It really is that important. Stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, this morning, there may be those sitting here today that do not know Jesus as Savior. And Lord, the gift of salvation. What a wonderful, wonderful gift, free gift. Lord, it's free to us, but it cost you everything. And we thank you for paying that price. We thank you today, Lord, that the resurrection was not a hoax, that it was real. It happened. And these evidences that give proof, the evidence just weighs so strongly in favor that Jesus Christ has risen. If there is one today that has never accepted the risen Savior, may this be the day. And Lord, as Christians, may our hearts be challenged as we think anew and afresh about what you did for us. May we put it into practice as we leave this place today. For we pray and ask in Jesus' name.